We have a character trait today, and the character trait is persistent. What can we say about the word persistent? You know, I think a lot of battles are won. I think a lot of sports games are won. I think a lot of good works are done because of this trait, persistence. Because life is not easy. The challenges that are dealt out to us are not easy. We can't just kind of slide through life and expect to be very successful in anything. It's the persistent. It's the diligent soul that is able to reap a good harvest. It takes a lot of work to plant and to water and to harvest and to weed and to look after disease in farming, to use that as an analogy. And the farmer who is persistent in sticking with his crop and seeking to bring forth those juicy Honeycrisp apples. That's what I'm thinking about. Those are the best apples. And so I've got one of those trees in my backyard, and it's been sickly since the time I planted it. It's gotten probably half of the diseases that are possible. That poor little tree. But I studied up on it and figured out how to deal with these particular diseases and cleaned up around the tree, picked up all these little leaves that fell off as it, you know, got plagued with a particular thing, and getting all those leaves off from around the bottom of the tree and being persistent to pick them out and put them into a bucket and not let them spread to any other part of the yard. Just that in itself helped that little tree a lot. Aeration, to keep it mowed and to keep things trimmed around there so that the aeration can get around the tree. It keeps, I think, a lot of the insects and stuff away from it. So it takes persistence to be successful at something. Hezekiah had this character trait of persistence. He didn't just give up when Rabshakeh came and said, "We're going to take you over." He just didn't say, "Well, yeah, you're a much bigger army than I am. Obviously, that's going to happen. I'll just advise everybody that the best thing for us to do is give up." No, that's not what Hezekiah did. He said, "Before the Lord, truly this army is larger than we, but you are larger than they. And he has spoken against you, Lord, so we trust that you will fight our battle." And this was a leader. This is one of the great traits of Hezekiah as a leader. He really encouraged his nation, his kingdom, to trust in the Lord. It's one thing to just say trust in the Lord. It's another thing when you're under that kind of pressure to say, "No, just rest. The Lord will deal with this. The Lord will take care of this this nation because they've spoken against the Lord." And he really led in this way. So persistence is the main character trait we're going after here. Our first point is a startling announcement. A startling announcement. It is kind of startling because of this chapter just before and just this wonderful victory that took place. And you think that Hezekiah is on the top of his game with being able to deal with evil and to trust in the Lord and help his people trust in the Lord. What's the next thing we see in the text? "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death." One after another, boom, boom, right next to each other, these two things juxtaposed to each other really kind of take the breath out of us. It's we got a Wii station just recently because I wanted to exercise my upper body a little bit more. I get exercise with my feet and stuff on my roller trainer, but I really haven't been exercising my upper body part of it. And it, we used this over at our relative's place, and I boxed on it. And I thought, wow, this would be really good upper body exercise. And so that was something I've been doing is boxing on a regular basis and really getting a lot of strength up here, a lot better than I have before. But you know, if I miss just a punch, if I'm not quick enough to be able to land my punches, that guy that's against me that's rated a little bit higher, he just boom, boom, I get hit, and then I can't get back into my rhythm. And that's kind of like, I think what's happening here is a startling announcement. Hezekiah gets broadsided with this slug, with this box into the head, and I think it probably just kind of took his breath away. So that's maybe a way to think about it. A startling announcement. Our first subpoint is great sickness. Great sickness. And he was, how great was the sickness? It was a sickness unto death. That we can put a little emphasis on. That was Hezekiah's situation, and we don't know how this came upon him, how quickly it came upon him, but I think that Hezekiah, you know, when you're sick, you can kind of feel what's going on. And I'm wondering if Hezekiah wasn't questioning, you know, whether he was going to live through this. Our second point, God's man speaks. God's man speaks, which is the job of a prophet. And so we're talking about Isaiah here. God's man speaks. Isaiah. How does he speak? He speaks with authority, because he's not speaking on his own behalf. He's speaking on behalf of the living God. The prophet Isaiah is faithful to do what he's told, and that's our next point, when spoken to. So our first point, our first subpoint was with authority. He speaks with authority, even from God's throne, and he does it in a timely manner when spoken to. When God tells him to go to Hezekiah, he goes. He goes right away. He deals with it. He doesn't waste time. And then our third point, whatever the message. A prophet, a faithful prophet, regardless of whether it's good news or bad news, will give the truth. That's one of the main characteristics of a prophet, is that they are lovers of truth. And even though it may not bode well with those hearers that are going to say it, the prophet is really zealous to speak the truth, because he knows that truth in the end always wins. Truth in the end is always going to be the best, because it comes from God himself. And so Isaiah comes on the scene, and we have the third point, which is, you know, we'll fit it in there. God's message is bleak. This particular message, the truth, is bleak. God's message is bleak. What is the message? Set thine house in order. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Interesting. God felt it was necessary to tell Hezekiah, not just to kind of let it happen, but to use Isaiah as the prophet to let Hezekiah know what was coming. It's interesting, his message is set thine house in order. You know, maybe one way we could look at that in our generation, in our time, is we like to have a will in place. We like to have our finances dealt with in such a way that if we were to die, that our spouse or our children would be able to get along the best they could without us. I think this is maybe a little bit of what this is talking about. Set thine house in order. Get everything ordered up prepare yourself for this journey because you are going to die now. And so it's a bleak message. It's not a message like we said at the top. It was a startling top of this is a startling announcement. Well, our second point is a special appeal. A special appeal. We're going to start with this idea that Hezekiah had a sure trust in the Lord. So that's our first subpoint. A sure trust in the Lord. How do we know this? Well, from our story last week, we know this, don't we? It's one thing to trust in the apparent, to plan around the known. But it's another thing to trust in God's Word and to believe in the one that we cannot see. This is why the Scripture says, if you don't love your brother whom you can see, how can you say that you can love God whom you do not see? It's a greater thing to be able to do a work of faith unto God and believe and trust in the unseen than it is to deal with things on this level and on this plane. And this is Hezekiah's case. Here he has Rabshakeh come as a messenger of Sennacherib. And this man did not speak nicely. It's not like he came to negotiate. He came with rude speech. He came with a bad message. And he came to intimidate the people on the wall. He came, basically, his first offensive was to loosen up those people on the wall, Hezekiah's main leadership, to get them to start to doubt. But Hezekiah stuck to his faith in the Lord, especially when he saw that Rabshakeh was speaking against the Most High God, the living God. Then he had something to grab onto. I really believe that once Hezekiah heard how that there was this abomination that was going out, this blasphemy going out against the living God, he says, I can take this before the Lord. I can lay this letter before the Lord because this is not going to be acceptable before God. I may not have been perfect in my ways, so if the kingdom was to be delivered for my sake, that might not be such a great appeal. But we're talking about the living God here and his reputation. He had something to go to God with. He had a strong case, a strong argument to bring before the Lord. And so this faith that he had, this sure trust, as we say, is another character quality that Hezekiah had. Keep this in mind now as we're in this part of the story with Hezekiah's sickness. So our first point there was, first subpoint was a sure trust. And the second subpoint, a swift and direct reply. A swift and direct reply. What do I mean by that? Well, remember, Isaiah was sent to Hezekiah. Go tell him that he needs to set his house in order because he will die and not live. So God used Isaiah the messenger, Isaiah the prophet, to bring the message to Hezekiah. But Hezekiah doesn't say, well, go tell God. Hezekiah doesn't say, no, don't leave yet. I need you to talk to the Lord about this. I'm not willing to give this up yet. He didn't. What did he do? The text says he turned his face to the wall. He turned his face to the wall and he prayed unto the Lord and he wept before the Lord and says, I've done right. I've walked righteously before you. I've done the right thing. Remember, Lord, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And he wept sore. This is how he made his appeal before the Lord. It was a direct connection. Hezekiah went right to the Lord. This message came to him through the prophet, but he went directly to the Lord with his appeal, and with heart and with fervency, right? As the scripture says, the fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. And I think we see that here. This fervent prayer goes out with really a good appeal. Hezekiah had taken a nation that was full of idolatry, and one place after another, he cut down the groves. He took the idolatry out, and he put the place of worship back in Jerusalem and said, this is the place where you need to worship. All these other gods and idols, were wiping them out of the land. And I better not see any of these idols. I better not hear about any of these idols. I'm sure this is the way Hezekiah was dealing with this. This is not going to be tolerated among Israel, I think was probably Hezekiah's approach. And so he did walk uprightly in his time. This is his appeal. A swift and direct reply. And then our third subpoint, a swift response. A swift response. So we have Hezekiah's sure trust. We have a swift direct reply and a swift response. I think God was smiling at Hezekiah's tenacity, Hezekiah's diligence, Hezekiah's persistence, Hezekiah's daring to go against the word of the Lord. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. It's on my calendar right here, Hezekiah. This date you shall die. Hezekiah turns his face and says, why? Look what I've done. Why are you doing this to me? Basically, it's kind of what Hezekiah, I believe, is saying. Why are you going to cut off my time? I've done this righteousness in this time. Don't take my life away now. And he wept. He wasn't willing to accept the calendar, the date that God had set for him. God hears him. As our pastor has said, God holds all the chess pieces. If you play chess at all, you know that your opponent makes one move, and then you have to think about that, and you go, okay, I need to counter that, and I need to make this offensive move at the same time. Defense, offense are happening both at the same time. Well, God knows how to move the chess pieces, even with this change in plan. Okay, let's shift the schedule 15 years out further. I can deal with that. I can still deal with Israel. I really think that God wanted to take Hezekiah off the scene because he knew that Israel's wickedness had come to a point where they needed to go into this penalty box. He wanted to take Hezekiah off the scene. And because we see this also in Josiah's life, that God says to Josiah, but I won't allow you to take part of this. In the same way, Hezekiah's life was this way, that in his time there was peace. And so for this man, Hezekiah, he's gonna shift the schedule 15 years, shift the events 15 years. And delay things 15 years. Interesting. A swift response, God hears, God heeds. Those are the two subpoints. And the third subpoint, go and say. In in 2 Kings chapter 20, it says this, that Isaiah was on his way out. He was in the middle court, or it says something like that. He was just leaving Hezekiah. Hezekiah made this prayer to God. And even as Isaiah is walking out and away from God, God walking out and away from Hezekiah, God speaks to Isaiah and says, turn around, go back, and tell Hezekiah I've heard his prayer. I'll give him another 15 years. Wow, that was a pretty swift response. God hears, God heeds, go and say. So Isaiah then turns around 180 degrees, goes back, says, well, the Lord has heard your prayer and seen thy tears. Behold, I have given you 15 more years. I made a little rhyme out of that. I have heard thy prayer and seen thy tears. Behold, I have given you 15 more years. My little poetry this morning. But that's true. We should gain faith in the story. Hezekiah was not in some way different than we are. Maybe in this aspect that he trusted in the Lord more than we do, he was different. But maybe not in any other aspect. We are in different positions of authority, and we can make our appeal to God. But we really need to mean it. Our prayers need to go through the wall. I think Hezekiah's prayer went through right through the wall that he turned to and up to God. They had meaning. They had purpose. And he spoke with this fervent prayer. So be encouraged. God can answer our prayer. Be persistent like Hezekiah here. Let's go on to our third point. A supernatural assurance. A supernatural assurance. And we have a deliverance promised. That's a section, this is a section, a part here that I didn't see before. I will deliver thee and this city. I will deliver thee. I told you I would deliver thee from the Assyrians. I did kill them, 185,000 soldiers, but I'll see to it that Assyria goes no farther. Maybe they have plans to bring another 185,000. No, Hezekiah, I'm not going to allow that. Assyria will not take this nation. It won't happen. I promise that to you. That's the first step of this assurance. That's not so much a supernatural assurance. You could put this more as a providential promise, a token. I'll follow through with my word, Hezekiah. I'll make sure those Assyrians don't take you. What do we have for our next point? A deviation from God's law of nature. Here's where we see the supernatural. Like God delayed Hezekiah's death, so he delayed the sun by 10 degrees. Maybe he was just kind of trying to give Hezekiah a message. See, I can turn back the calendar in your life. I can do it with the sun. I'm able to do all things. I am God Almighty. I am omnipotent. I'm all-knowing. I know how to deal with these things. So a deviation from God's law of nature, the sun always rises from the east and sets in the west. And Hezekiah had seen this all the days of his life. The prophet Isaiah says, well, you can ask of the Lord to either advance the sun 10 degrees in the sky, or you can ask him to go back 10 degrees. What would you like to do? And Hezekiah says, well, it's nothing to go forward. We always go forward. Tell him to go back. Tell him to go back 10 degrees. And so it says it happened. So that was a long day. Had a little extra sunlight that day because the Lord made the sun go backwards. I wonder how he did that physics-wise. Did he stop the rotation of the earth and then rotate it back 10 degrees and then stop it there and then, well, okay, go forward? Or what happened there? Physics-wise, in my spatial mind, I'm trying to figure, what exactly did the Lord do there? Or did the earth stay in its same place and he took the sun, a much greater body, and shift its position out in space, like just move it millions of miles to another position? I don't know. One of the two had to happen in order for that phenomena of shifting the sun back 10 degrees. That was supernatural. That was a big event. Well, we remember another event that was something like this. in the battle that was between, what was it, the Amalek? Oh, I'm going to speak wrong here. It was a battle that Joshua had and Moses. I shouldn't say, because I don't know for sure. It was one of those battles that happened in Israel early on. And I believe it was Joshua said, "Son, hold still." Oh, I think it was in the Promised Land, wasn't it? Where they were trying to rout out a particular city. And they wanted to make sure that they did the Lord's will in wiping out everything. And Joshua said, "Son, hold still." Is that right? All right, Joshua chapter 10. Am I close there? Yes. And, so it was in the book of Joshua. That was when they came into the Promised Land, and God just froze everything. It's like he stopped time for a while. So the sunlight was there, and they were able to finish their battle, finish their work for the Lord, and then he started the clock again. So maybe God reversed time in this case, for actually wound it backwards in this case for Hezekiah. I don't know. Okay, I've gone long enough on that. A deliverance promised as a token, a deviation from God's law of nature, and a directive for healing. So we get into all this supernatural stuff, all these great things, yet God still, in his economy, still had a real practical thing that he wanted Isaiah to do. Take a lump of figs and set it on that boil, and he will recover. Isn't it interesting how God works? He could have just healed him, but he still used, in God's economy, in the way that he set things up, that in his omniscience knew that if he took these figs and set it on this boil, that it would be like an antidote or a healing salve for this boil and would cause Hezekiah to be healed. I just find that interesting. God takes care of the little things. God takes care of the really big things. And take it to the Lord in prayer. You know, as the song says, we shouldn't waste time with... That's my problem. Sometimes I try to work on a solution rather than just going right to the Lord and saying, "Lord, this is bigger. This problem is bigger than I am. And I don't know how you're going to work out the solution, but would you go to battle for me? And would you deal with this thing?" So maybe that's the biggest thing that, one of the biggest things, two big things we learned is take it to the Lord in prayer. Right away, when we have some trial that's before us, go to the Lord. Don't spend too much time trying to work things out. God can do all things, the little things and the big things. And be persistent, that's the other thing. Don't give up. Don't give out, give up and give out as Hezekiah did not. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Hezekiah didn't accept that. He didn't accept that. And that was from the Lord himself. He was like negotiating as Abraham did with the Lord about Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, will you wipe this place out if there are 50 righteous? And he kept working them down, you know. So he got to 10, and then that was it. You know, that was far enough. So let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you for the example of Hezekiah, this righteous man that we can learn from, one of the few kings in Israel that honored you and trusted in you. Lord, help us in our time to be that person, that individual who doesn't get distracted by all the things of the age, doesn't turn away and lose heart, but help us, Lord, to be persistent and believe, have that believing heart and a fervent prayer, Lord, unto you for our ministry, for our lives, indeed, Lord, for this drama of redemption that you have us in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.